1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I want to do my best to pick up where we left off last week, which can be a little bit of a challenge because I like to review things, but we've been on this particular subject for some time, and the more ground we cover, the more challenging it becomes to review. But the reviews are important, amen, because it helps us remember things that the Lord is saying to us. How many of you think if the Lord's speaking to us, we ought to remember what He's saying? We ought to make note of it. We ought to pay attention. All right, that says I've got 2 hours. So good. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so when the Lord speaks to us, you know, we need to pay attention to it and take note of it and honor it. And but then also, we don't just repeat things for the sake of memory, but we also review and repeat things because we're wanting to see how they fit into a much larger picture. Amen. And so last Sunday, we were talking about the power of our lifestyle. And that discipleship is about adopting and adapting to a different lifestyle. And we spent some time talking about lifestyle, and we identified different factors that all come together to create a lifestyle. And many times we think of a lifestyle as only being like things that we do habitually, like our habits, but lifestyles include our attitudes, our interests. Anybody remember this? Our attitudes, our interests, our morals, meaning what we think is right. Have you figured out that not everybody thinks like you when it comes to thinking about what's right or what's important? Values are a key element of our lifestyle, and our values are, again, things that you believe are important. And we see that there is a certain lifestyle that God created us to live. It's a lifestyle of righteousness. It's a lifestyle of holiness. It's a lifestyle of godliness. And if we get a chance, we're going to kind of break some of those words down to you. But we see that in the New Testament body of Christ, if you're born again, you're not just a part of the church. You're part of the church, which is His body, the Bible says. So it's not just that you're a member of an organization. Sometimes we think of membership as being like a member of the Kiwanis Club or a member of the gym, a member at the YMCA. That's all important. But in the body of Christ, membership is way, way more than that. The Bible says we're bone of His bone and we're flesh of His flesh. We are literally members of the body of Christ. Amen. And so as members of the body of Christ, we see that God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He has already given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that He has freely given to us all things, that He has not only given us His kingdom, but He's put His kingdom within us. He has spoken these things to us so that we might have His joy and we might have His peace. And so it's not, as a born-again believer, what the Lord is really emphasizing to us in the last few months is that it's the good things that are in us that He's wanting to bring forth from us. And so I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but let's just talk about it while we're here. Might repeat this later. But the scriptures instruct us to awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness. Now, when you look at the scriptures, we see that we're instructed to be holy, for God is holy. Amen. But in the New Testament, He makes you righteous when you're born again. Righteousness is something you become. It's a state of being. Amen. And so He says to the born again believer, we need to awake to what's already true about us. And the same could be said about awaking to the kingdom within us. So the idea is, if there's a disconnect is created when we don't have knowledge of what's in us and who's in us and what's been given to us and what's been done for us and who we've been made. So discipleship, again, we define it many different ways so you can understand. It's a process of awakening. Amen. It's waking up, right? Are you with me? Have you ever been zoned out thinking about something and your friend, your wife, your spouse, whatever, talking to you, and finally they go, hello? You know, it's like, you know, I've been talking to you 5 minutes, you know. Well, it wasn't that you were asleep, but they just woke you up, meaning they brought you out of focus on one thing and focusing onto something else. And so awaking to these things, again, critically important. And so there's a certain lifestyle, but that lifestyle is not about conforming to an outward standard. That's many times we think of the Christian life as an outward standard of living that we're trying to conform to. He said, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the transformation process begins at the new birth when we receive Jesus. He makes all things new, according to 2 Corinthians 5. Old things are gone, all things are new. He's talking about your spirit. You are a spiritual creature. He's talking about you. Amen. But you also have something called a soul. Amen. And you, with your soul, live in your body. Amen. And your soul's not born again. So when we talk about awakening to righteousness, awake to righteousness, he's talking about in your soul, in your mind. He's talking about you becoming aware. That's another way of saying it. Become aware of righteousness. Become aware of the righteousness that you have been made, that you have become. So when we talk about this lifestyle, we're talking about a lifestyle of awareness. Amen. We're talking about a lifestyle of and stay with me now. I know these words, I don't mean these in a political sense, but our walk with God is progressive in nature, meaning we go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. We go from one understanding, one level of knowledge and understanding and revelation to the next level of knowledge, understanding, and revelation. And that's why the Apostle Paul said we have to press against the forces that are resisting us. We have to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us. And then once we've done that, we have to hold that ground and let that become the new position of victory and thanksgiving from which we continue to reach forward for what God has next. Anything God wants to do in your life this morning, he wants to do it for at least two reasons. Number one, to help you and bless you this morning, but also to prepare you and position you for what he wants to do with you later today or in the morning. Amen. So it's incremental. That's why he says in Philippians, to the degree, listen to that word, to the degree that you have attained, walk by the same rule. Now, when he says walk by the same rule, we might say it this way. Let the degree that you have now attained become the new normal in your life. Amen. Not, we were talking about this on Wednesday night in discipleship class. So many times we have these experiences, encounters with God, and we consider them to be some type of epiphany, some type of a high point and a milestone, to which we may, aspire to years down the road. No. When Father God meets us where we are and reveals truth to us and touches us and manifests himself and his truth to us, that's not to be considered like a high watermark. Amen. There used to be, I think it's closed now, Cypress Inn restaurant. Anybody? We used to carry groups from the church down. It's down on the Black Warrior River, I think, in Tuscaloosa. And you sit there, you know, you always want a window seat because you overlook the river. And on one of the oak trees out there, they had signs posted to like how high the floodwaters have been in the past, in the year that they were, had reached that level. And man, some of them, like you're sitting there at your table looking out the window and there's a sign that's above where you're sitting. In other words, that whole building had been underwater, or at least that property had been underwater at some point. Well, sometimes I think, you know, we reach these levels with God and we nail a sign to a tree and then float back down to what we think is normal, right? And hope one day we'll rise to that level again. No, that's wrong. Wake up. Amen. That's wrong thinking. We fight for this ground because the enemy's trying to resist us. We overcome that resistance. We break out of that comfort zone. We overcome the prison of common sense and comfort zone. And we gain that ground. Don't let the enemy steal that word from you, steal that experience from you. Let that become the new normal. Let that become the new position from which you then reach and press and lay hold of more. This is one of the reasons why we say here at Heritage all the time, good things coming. Amen. Because what the Lord said to us at the very beginning was that no matter how much we experience, no matter how much we learn, no matter how much we enjoy, with God, the best is always yet to come. God always has something better for us, amen, to lay hold of, to experience, to enjoy, and to pass along and share to others. Amen. So we're talking about a lifestyle now. Are you following me? We're talking about a lifestyle. And I think for a lot of God's people, when we think in terms of a Christian lifestyle, we think in terms of behavior. And specifically, I think many anyway think in terms of the Christian lifestyle means avoiding bad behavior, right? So Christian lifestyle means trying not to sin. Amen. My brother, my sister, certainly we should try not to sin. Amen. But the Christian lifestyle is not one of not trying to do something. Amen. The Christian lifestyle is walking with God, walking with Jesus in the yoke of discipleship, experiencing new things, growing up into Jesus in all things, doing the works that Jesus did and even greater things. Are you following me? It's an upward call. Paul said we're responding to an upward call because God is a God of increase. God does not know decrease. He only knows increase. Amen. He is increasing in glory. Amen. He is increasing in power and in might and in majesty. Amen. Are you following me? God is more glorious now than he was when this service started 45 minutes ago. Are you following me? Praise God. He is a God of continual increase. If you don't believe me, look at some of the research about our universe. He said, let there be light. Amen. And it is expanding beyond our capacity to comprehend. Again, it's what we see in creation is a reflection of the Creator. Amen. He is a God of increase, a God of, come on, exponential increase. Are you with me this morning? Amen. And so this is the life that God has called us to. He's called us to a life of increase. And I don't just mean increase in finances or increase in things. Certainly that's a part of it. That's a part of it. Jonathan Shuttlesworth, he preached at the Southwest Believers Convention for the first time. Did anybody listen to that brother's sermons? Oh, yeah. Woo! Man. And you know, he talked about, this brother taking up an offering, and he says, look, I'm not saying that if you give in this offering, that God's gonna give you a house or God's gonna give you this. I'm not. And he's like, why don't you say it, brother? That's what Jesus said. Did Jesus not say that if you leave these things for his name's sake, that he will give you houses and lands and good things both in this life and in the life that is to come? God's a God of increase. He wants you to increase, not just for your own benefit, but for the benefit of others. Amen. Are you understand what I'm saying here? So God's a God of increase, and so many of God's people have, in response to God's desire to increase them, they've become people of status quo. You understand status quo? Just, you know, reach a certain level and get happy and satisfied. Well, that's not who we are. Amen. So we're talking about adopting a lifestyle and then adapting to it. Adopting it means making a quality choice to receive it, to take it. Amen. And then comes the adapting, which is what? Is all the adjustments you need to make to accommodate this new lifestyle. And that's where the resistance comes. It's easy to say, man, you've convinced me, Pastor Mark. I'm all in, you know, sign me up. Praise God. Okay. But then you have the opportunity, to either spend some time in the Word or veg out on television. Are you seeing? So that's where the resistance comes, right? Are you following me? Are you following me? You can listen to Keith Moore on the way to church, or you can listen to, your favorite oldies station. And I'm not knocking oldies music. Amen. I like it. Amen. But you follow what I'm saying? It's a lot easier just to listen to the Beach Boys instead of the Faith Men. Are you following me? Amen. Praise God. Are you with me? So in other words, we've got to be willing to make the necessary adjustments to accommodate the lifestyle. When Paul prayed that Christ would be settled and be at home with them, we know that when we're born again, he moves in. But then once he moves in, you've got to make some adjustments. It'd be like if somebody moved in with you. Are you following what I'm saying? In other words, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's really not a secret. Pam's mom's fixing to move in with us. Okay. Well, Pam and I we've been empty nesters now since John Mark and Gina, you know, got married. Then they lived us a little while and moved out. And, I'll just be real honest with you. Okay. I'm enjoying, so amen. I love my mother-in-law. You know, I love her. Amen. Right. But my 90-year-old mother-in-law is fixing to be living in my house. Amen. Say it louder. Big adjustments. Amen. Big adjustments. Amen. We're going to accommodate it. We've adopted and now we're adapting. Amen. Are you with me? We've made the choice. It's what's best for her. We don't live for ourselves. Amen. Are you following me? Amen. 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 Do it as unto the Lord, that it may be well with me and my days may be long upon the earth. Honor your mama and your daddy, right? Amen. Praise God. Amen. So we're doing it, but amen. It's one thing to say yes. It's another thing. Now we got some adjustments to make. Lifestyle is going to have to change. Not a lot, but it's going to change. Amen. Now, when her dad moved in with us, he required 24-hour day care. Now, that was some adjustments. I'm just going to tell you now, that was some major adjustments. Okay? But again, Lord will help you. His grace is sufficient. Come on now. His grace is sufficient. Okay? So Jesus moves in with us. Jesus moves in with us. Well, we got some adjustments to make. Amen? Are you with me? Amen. Amen. Jesus moves in with you. He don't want to watch CNN anymore. He wants to watch Fox. Amen. Are you hearing me? I probably shouldn't have said that. Yeah, I'm all right about it. Come on now. Amen. There are certain things that we got to change. Amen. And listen, it's not that he's going to move out if you don't make those changes. Religion will tell you he will. He's with you forever. He said, when I come to live in you, I'm in you forever. Okay. But you're going to make it a lot more comfortable on him and yourself if you'll adjust and to accommodate this new reality in your life. Amen. Right. Have you figured out by now sin doesn't do for you what it did for you before you got saved? Amen. Why? It's because the Holy Spirit's in you now. I mean, you can go do them things, but you are a miserable person. Why? Because you're not just hurting yourself. You're grieving him. You're making him uncomfortable. And if he's uncomfortable inside of you, I promise you, you're going to be uncomfortable. Amen. Are you with me? Praise God. All right. Now, I haven't even got to the review yet. Praise God. Okay. Y'all still up in here? I haven't even got to my text yet. Kim, what's wrong? Amen. But we're saying what we need to be. When we talk about making these adjustments, you know, adapting, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's look at it for a moment. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, and that, think of mature, grew up, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 is most commonly thought of as the love chapter. And that's okay. That's not incorrect. But as we've just proven, there's more talked about in 1 Corinthians 13 than love. And we need the context. Love certainly provides the context. But in addition to 1 Corinthians 13 being the love chapter, it's also about growing up. But it's also about understanding, or as I like to define understanding, it's about seeing. It's about seeing. Amen. Can you see things more clearly now than you did in the past? I'm talking about the things of God. Amen. Remember, light is the ability to see things as they truly are. Light is the ability to see things as they truly are. Jesus said, if the light that's in you be darkness, how great is the darkness? Well, we think if there's darkness in us, then we can't see. No, if there's darkness in you, you can still see. You just can't see things as they truly are. So it's the ability to see things as they truly are. This is a hallmark, if you will. This is a chief characteristic of our growth and development in the things of God. Let me say it another way. If you are unable to see things, Amen. The more you grow up into the things of God, the more you're able to see things as they truly are. There can be no spiritual growth and development if you continue to see things as you see them right now. Amen. Now, I am very thankful for all the things that the Lord has taught us and revealed to us, and things that we can see now that we maybe couldn't see months ago, weeks ago, years ago, what have you, right? But if we think what we're seeing now is all there is to see, if we think all that we understand now is all there is to understand, we are in a really bad situation. Amen. In other words, we're locked down. The valve of our soul has been completely tightened off. Amen. So we have to remain teachable. When the Lord shows you something, be very thankful. Record it, write it down, honor it, amen. Thank Him for it, but then also ask Him this question. Thank you for showing me this. What else am I not seeing clearly? Amen. So if we go back to it, verse 11, when I was a child, remember this word is nepios, it means one who has a darkened understanding. He says, I spoke like one who had a darkened understanding. Because I understood like one who had a darkened understanding. Because I thought like one who had a darkened understanding. Are you seeing this? Now, if we think with a darkened understanding, if we understand with a darkened understanding, and if we speak with a darkened understanding, we're not going to live. Our lifestyle is not going to be one with an enlightened understanding. All right? Now, all of these are related. Thinking is the building blocks for our understanding. You got to have better thoughts to have a better understanding. Keep thinking the way you've always thought. You'll keep seeing things the way you've always seen them. Understanding is how you see things. I'm going to say it again. Your understanding, your own understanding, it's how you as an individual see things. One more time, have you figured out by now, not everybody sees things the way you see them. Okay? So how you see things. Well, if you continue to think the way you've always thought, you're going to continue to see things the way you've always seen them. Then he goes to, I spoke, okay? Speaking is responding. Your thoughts are important because your thoughts become the building blocks for your understanding. Your understanding is important because that's how you see things. And how you see things is important because how you see things determines how you respond to people, to situations, and to God. Amen. Notice we just went from internal to external. It goes external when we start speaking. Now, 99% of the time, your first response to anything is going to be verbal. Doesn't stop there. If you're like me, you probably wish sometimes it had stopped there. Amen. But still, we say words. You can apologize, but it's hard to take them back. Impossible to take them back. Ask God to forgive you. Ask people to forgive you. Amen. So, how we see things, our understanding. Let me go back, make sure I want you to get this in the bigger picture, okay? Love, it is a love chapter, I'm not taking that away at all, but he goes from talking about love to growing up, and he talks about growing up in relationship to how you see things. Are you following me? You think like a child, you see things like a child, you speak like a child, you respond like a child, you act like a child. All right? But what if we were to start thinking like a spiritual adult, like the born again men and women we truly are, and we started seeing things, then started responding to things? Are you seeing this? Okay. And so he goes on, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Thank God for the part that we know. Thank God for the part that we know, but we still only know in part. Are you with me? You got to own it for you can disown it. In other words, what am I saying? You got to recognize that there's still things I don't know. Everybody's got two stacks. Stack of stuff you know, stack of stuff you don't know. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you straight up, for me, the stack of stuff I don't know is much bigger than the stack of stuff I know already. Now, that's encouraging because that means that there's room in that stack of stuff I don't know already for all kinds of transformation, all kinds of breakthrough, all kinds of manifestations of the Spirit, all kinds of growth and development and increase. Did I mention increase this morning? Praise God. So you can't let what you know about it keep you from learning and understanding what you need to know. So it's interesting that the Holy Spirit keeps bringing Paul back to, we see it really clearly in Ephesians chapter 4, how he sees himself. How he sees himself. This is such a critical piece of our growth and development and understanding. Remember, how you understand things is how you see things. And so how you understand yourself, or how you see yourself, or as we like to say, the image that you have of yourself. He says, now we see in a mirror dimly. Remember, I do not need a mirror to see what I can see without one. I need a mirror to see what I can't see unless I have a mirror to look into. Amen. So for us to see who we truly are in Christ Jesus, we need a mirror to look into to see the correct reflection of who we became the day we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. And it just so happens to be that the Word of God is that mirror. You can see things about yourself that are true about you in this mirror that you cannot see yet in your life reality, that you cannot see in your behavior or your emotions. Amen. Not there yet, but you can see them here. And notice he says, now we're seeing dimly, but there's coming a day when it will be face to face. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't continue to make progress in this critical area. In other words, I know more about who I am in Christ today than I have ever known about who I am in Christ since I met the Lord at 7 years old. Amen. But I still only know in part. Amen. And I don't want to try to get too many layers going here because we're about out of time. But even when we talk about like the part that we know, amen, there's still more to it. Are you with me? I've said different versions of this over the years, and I mean every one of them, okay? I don't want you to get to heaven one day and come find me and it's like, why didn't you tell me the whole time I was on earth I was righteous? Are you following what I'm saying? So, listen very carefully. Just because you know what the Bible says about it doesn't mean that you see yourself in the light of it. It's one thing to know what the Bible says about you. It's another thing for you to see yourself that way. Amen. So that's understanding. That's when you see yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's when you see yourself as having been made one with God. That's when you see yourself seated together with Jesus far above all principality, power, might, and dominion and every name that's named both in heaven and in earth in this age and the age that is to come. What's the difference? The difference is how you respond. When you truly see yourself seated there, that's when you begin to operate in the authority that belongs to someone seated there. One thing to be able to quote the verse, it's another thing for that to become understanding. So notice, all along the way now, we're talking about growth and development. It's the progression. It's the faith to faith, glory to glory. The more you see it, the more your life reality is transformed to reflect it. Amen. So where are the battle lines drawn? In other words, don't be offended at this, but if you were the devil, where would you be trying to stop us? That's why the Apostle Paul speaks about how we see ourselves. In other words, notice he says, now we see in a mirror dimly. In other words, even if you see more than most, you're still only seeing dimly. He says, there's coming a day when it's going to be face to face. I mean, you're going to see exactly and clearly. And that's when you will know just as you are also known. Amen. Right? You follow me? Pick up what he's putting down here. You know, people talk about being the best version of themselves. Amen. There's only one true you, and it's the one heaven knows. Amen. We're not trying to be the best version of ourselves. We're trying to be who live out who God's already made us. There's a big difference there. But again, if you think like someone who's a loser, failure, can't get anything right, then it's going to be very difficult for you to see yourself as a winner if you think. You see, but if you begin to realize I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I can of my own self do nothing, but me and my Father are one. My Father who's in me does the works. See, the more you start understanding and seeing yourself in light of these things. So this isn't, when the Apostle Paul talks about this, it's not for ego. It's not for pridefulness. Absolutely not. But he does focus on this a lot because this is where the enemy fights the child of God the hardest. You say, no, that's not right, Pastor Mark. He tries to get us to sin. He's trying to get you to sin because he wants to turn around and use the sin as evidence that you're not righteous, that you're not holy, that you're not loved, are you following me? So the devil uses the outward behavior to try and reinforce his arguments against the Word of God and against the truth of God in your life. And let me prove it to you. He can tempt you to sin and you actually resist and not give in to the sin, and he doesn't care. He'll come at you and say, if you really were changed, you wouldn't be tempted by that. Are you following me? If you were, if you down that church raising your hands up, they knew what you said yesterday and how you acted yesterday. See again, he's the accuser of the brethren. Why is he accusing you? Because he never wants you to see, understand who you truly are. So he's offering you all this information in the sense realm, in the natural realm. And some of that you've contributed. I mean, you said it, you did it, you acted that way, right? So do you see this, do you see where the struggle comes in here? All right. All right, now, oh, sweet Jesus. And we still doing communion. Y'all good? Amen. Okay. I got to say this last part because this is like the tie-in. All right. So he then comes back in verse 13. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three. The greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Well, obviously, we see into this mirror by faith. Right? And faith becomes the basis for our expectation. Hope is expectation. So let's just use righteousness. We see in the scriptures, he who knew no sin was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's just righteousness by faith. So God says it, I believe it. Even if my outward behavior doesn't say it, I'm awakening to it. I believe it. Because I believe it now, I have expectation of righteousness. Are you with me? Okay. But it comes back to the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. And it's when we show love to others, love by serving, love by giving, love by serving, love by giving. Amen. Love requires humility. You can't be prideful and show genuine love at the same time. To genuinely love someone by serving them and giving to them, amen, you humble yourself, grace to the humble. You see how these things start cascading, lining up, going together, amen. And this is how we grow. This is how we grow. Why? Because love and hope and faith open that valve. Fear, regret, and selfishness shut it down. Okay? Amen? All right. For those of you who are going to help serve communion, gentlemen, if you would please, brothers, if you would come forward. Amen. Amen, amen. I sometimes try to end a little early on communion day. Oh, sweet Jesus, so much to share, so much to share. Are y'all getting anything out of this? If you're enjoying this half as much as I am, you're really enjoying it because I am having myself a wonderful time, up in here. Okay. I got to say this and I'm going to say it. I know y'all men are standing here. Just everybody hold steady just a second. Faith, hope, and love are the fundamentals. Do you understand fundamentals? Do you understand fundamentals? Throwing, catching, and hitting are the fundamentals of baseball. Am I right about it? Okay, all right. So if you take throwing, hitting, or catching away, you don't have baseball anymore. Okay. So throwing, hitting, and catching are the fundamentals of baseball. Faith, hope, and love are the fundamentals of the lifestyle that God created us to live. That's the one we've got to adopt, choose, and then adapt to accommodate. Amen. Okay. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the opportunity that we have now to